Good evening, everyone. You can make your way back to your seats. You can be seated when you get there. I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord on a Wednesday night. Is anybody thankful to be here on a Wednesday? Amen. As my wife already mentioned, I'm excited. This is our first Wednesday of this kind of a series of Wednesdays where we gather here together between our life group semesters. And thankful that we have active life groups where people can connect. And I just want to put a quick plug in for life groups. And if you have not been a part of that, it's a wonderful opportunity throughout the week to connect with people outside of a church service and outside of this context. And although it's wonderful to come together in this way, it's also good to do life together and spend time together. And, you know, I wish that I could say that the moments at church are enough to sustain deep relationships, but the truth is it's walking with one another through the situations of life. Amen. And so I'm thankful, as you've heard many times in our announcements, we are a church of life groups, and but this is a unique opportunity. And so tonight I'm starting a series of messages specifically for Wednesday night, and kind of the simple theme is we are first church. We are first church. And so I'm going to be talking about what it means to be a part of the church and a member of the church. And, you know, I have many times talked about this in the past couple weeks and been talking using the terminology and phrasing of, being a member and serving and ministry and these different terms that sometimes we speak about and I've spoken about and given you biblical context for. But tonight, I'm going to take the opportunity to kind of get into the weeds a little bit, and I recognize that tonight is probably the people that have come are probably more of our core constituency, you could say it that way, or it's kind of the, I used to play drums at a lot of ladies' conferences, which is a random thing, and they would... I would always run for the door when you heard this phrase. You would hear this phrase. You would say, "Since it's just us girls." Whenever they would say that, that would be my cue. I am out of here. But it just reminded me. It's kind of one of those. I feel like this is one of those times. Like, since it's just us girls, you know, the church, many of us. So I'm taking these opportunities to kind of just talk to us about some things that I feel like it will help position our church for the revival that God has already been sending us. And there's been some incredible avenues through which we've had people connect with our church in a new way. And one of those I just want to highlight again is our drive-through prayer. I want to give a special shout out to Pastor John and Sister Talisha. Thank y'all so much for your vision for drive-through prayer. It is incredible. What God has been doing through that ministry has been absolutely phenomenal. But, the truth is, if we don't position ourselves well, we will not be able to receive people well. And so I want to talk about what it means to be first church. What is that? And you know, if you look at the New Testament, really from Acts chapter 2 to Revelation 3, the main focus of this bulk of Scripture is either to the local church, about the local church, or written in the context of the local church. And we see that it really is that important. It's God's plan A for the body of Christ and for his mission on earth. And, you know, there was a survey done of 557 churches from 2004 to 2010. This religious group surveyed these churches from across denominations, and they found that 9 out of 10 of them were growing at a slower pace than their communities. Interesting. And it just means that their community was outpacing. They weren't keeping up. And it's a high challenge. And there's a lot of things that you could point to of why do, you know, churches in general, why are they not growing? And it's this and it's that. And but the thing that I just really extrapolated out of that is not to point fingers at anything, because we are growing. I'm thankful for that. But it's just the responsibility that we have, such a responsibility. And even drive-through prayer really highlights that as we see people drive down to Quinder Road and the need that is out there. And it begs the question, why have they not connected and why have they not interacted? And so something as simple as drive-through prayer is creating a new interaction. And so tonight I want to talk about what it means to be a member of the body of Christ, a member of our church. And I've preached a lot about serving and being a part of the body and generational relationships. And tonight I really want to talk about kind of the nuts and bolts of this word that we use as member. And for the the sake of our message tonight, I'm not necessarily speaking about church bylaws and membership and governance. I'm really talking about the body of Christ. And so my title for the message tonight is I'm a member, not a member. I'll explain that in a second. Yes, I know you went to write that down and said, did I hear that right? Yes, you heard me right. I'm a member, not a member. So there's a pastor that's also an author that tells the story of when a country club came to a small southern town as a child, and it wasn't a big club, it didn't have a lot of huge fees, and so his parents were actually able to afford a membership to the club, and he was so enamored by it. And he said there was a swimming pool, which nobody he knew had a swimming pool. And he could go and he could get a burger from the dining area for free. He could just walk up and say, I want a burger. And they gave him a burger. And he said, I did this multiple times just to see if it would work. And they gave me multiple burgers over and over again. And he learned that he could have all of his birthdays at the pool. He could have all of his hangouts, whatever else he wanted to do at the meeting rooms. And he learned an important lesson that membership meant perks. And membership meant privileges. And membership meant that, in this context, that people, when I'm a member, everyone is there to serve me. He said, you just pay the going rate and others will take care of you, and then you will enjoy a life of leisure and luxury. And I share that story because I think that there is a danger when we have a healthy church, when we have a wonderful church, when we have a blessed church, a potential dark side of wonderful things happening is that we can, if we're not careful, allow that story and concept and idea and perspective to be the lens that we look at the word membership through. This is the reason I've been preaching about the blessing of giving versus receiving and serving versus being served. And so this is not what it means to be a member. Now, should church be enjoyable? Absolutely. Should we have community and enjoy the fellowship of one another? Absolutely. Are there benefits? Of course. Is there community? Yes. But I hope you get my point. When I say member, I don't want us to think of member as in I am a member, so serve me and do all of these things for me and provide for me and show me the perks and benefits of membership. So I want to tell us that we are not a member. And since we have kids in here, I'll use a couple of motions and gestures because maybe it'll help them. But really, the truth is, I think all of us benefit from a little bit of visual learning. So in this context, when I say I am not a member, I am not a country club member. So if that's not what membership is supposed to be, then what does the Bible have to say? What is membership? Thank you for asking. I want to turn our attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, one of the largest segments of the New Testament that gives us a clear picture of church membership. And again, we say church membership. What do we mean? The ESV, I look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, for just as the body is one with many members, has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it isn't with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. So when I say member, I mean member, not member. Everybody tracking with me on that? So when I look at this, church membership, it's not a card-carrying member, it is a part of a whole. So when I say I am a member of First Church, I want us to look at this perspective of one body with many members. I continue. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would there be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. I want to read that again. God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. And we continue to look at kind of the next portion of this explanation. If the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greatest honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. Why? that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. What does that mean? That means from the pulpit to the back pew, same care for every member. Different functionality, same body. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are a part of the body of Christ and individually members of it. So when I say I'm not a member, I'm a member, that is what I mean. And that is a perspective that we have to cultivate and keep in our mind. This is biblical membership. And I love what he says about concerning the things that we would view as lesser members and how vital they are. And I would dare say there are many people that would even look at in this room that you view value only from the perspective in the body of Christ, only from what you can see, maybe a surface, the obvious levels of value. For instance, you see the pastor as a member and you see inherent value. This is the function. This is what I can see. This is the benefit. You see the worship leader or a musician and you see value, but you don't see yourself in an area of key leadership, so you don't think you have value. I want to talk to you about your big toe for a moment. Do you know what your big toe does? Your big toe. That's right. You know, if you study it, and I'm not a podiatrist, but if you study it, if you study the gait of a walk, your first start of this would be a heel strike. And in the moment of a heel strike, your toe is pointed up, right? Your toe, if you think about it, your toe is pointed up and your foot goes down and your toe goes straight. And as you're in the end of your gait, as your foot goes up, your toe is fully flexed, which puts your arch of your foot in a different shape. If you can do this, maybe just put your foot on the ground and kind of push your foot up and feel the flexion of your foot as your toe, as the end of a stride, you can feel some tension in your foot, right? It's a big thing. Your big toe influences all of that. When it's up, the arch changes. And this is called, I learned, this is called the windlass mechanism. The windlass mechanism, the effect that the big toe and the position the big toe has. I don't know, you guys didn't know you're going to come to a class about your big toe tonight, did you? You didn't realize that. You can't miss out on Wednesdays because we're talking anatomy. We're talking big toes, okay? It's spiritual. But as the toe flexes, we have this windlass mechanism. When the toe is down, the arch is lowering. And that's when we see that when you press on the back of the gait, then your toe is fully flexed. And what that does is in this position, your entire foot has stiffened. And what it does is your big toe is a big part of propelling you forward. You don't even think about it, but without your big toe really handles balance. Did you know that? Did you know without your big toe, your posture would be totally different? So what I'm saying is, man, maybe you're going to take better care of your big toe now. You need to realize it does some stuff. But what you have to understand is that at the end of my step, this part of my body that is unseen, insignificant, just functions without me even thinking about it, is actually extremely vital to propelling the rest of my body forward. I can't believe I'm about to preach about a big toe and get excited about big toes. But what I'm trying to tell somebody tonight is that there are aspects that you are serving and doing in the body of Christ that you may not understand it, but your involvement is what propels things forward. You may not see it right now, but it may just be your prayer for me that is the thing that strengthens me in a moment. I'm trying to tell everyone that you are members of a body and there is no member more significant than the other. Amen. The unseen members of the body sometimes play the most vital roles. But we don't see it that way because we want to see membership. What are the privileges? What do you do? And what do I do? And what have I done? And there's an inherent danger because without getting too far into church culture, the truth is we do bring in a lot of our own entrepreneurial American spirit into the way we view church. And I'm proud to be American. I think it's the greatest country on earth. But if we're not careful, what we can do is we can bring pride into the areas that we are called to serve in and be a danger to the body because we elevate ourselves above others. But everything we just read in that scripture tells us we don't look at others any differently than us. We don't look down on these things. You didn't know I was going to preach about big toes, but here we are. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Membership is not about prominence or position. It's about the necessity of working together as a whole. We need you to be a functioning member of the body. If my feet decided to quit, I wouldn't be able to go anywhere. You know this. If my hands took a day off, I'd be stuck at home. I wouldn't be able to function. If one suffers, we all suffer. If one is honored, we all rejoice. Now, when I see that, when I see if one suffers, we all suffer. We see that bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We see these different verses. But to be very honest, I think sometimes we think of that reactively. Meaning, if someone is hurt or if something happens, we will go and we will then help them. But in your physical body, you don't just think about pain and hurt and suffering in a reactive mode. No, when it comes to our body, we are in a proactive and protecting mode. So number one, yes, are we supposed to help pick people up when they fall? Yes, absolutely. But if the only time we reach out to people is when they've made a grave mistake or they've fallen, then we're not really functioning as the body. What I'm saying is we need to make sure that we are also protecting people and checking up on people and making sure that we are being members of the body and saying, you know what, let me see if you're doing okay. How is everything? I wouldn't go play tackle football in the NFL ever, but I wouldn't play without putting on the correct protection and pads and all these things. Why? Because I know I'm going to be hurt at some point. And in the same way in the body of Christ, when I see that, when one suffers, we all suffer. It's not just saying wait around till someone suffers and then go help them. Yes, that's part of it. It's about protecting one another. It's about being there for one another. It's about doing life with one another. It's about being proactive instead of just reactive. We are members of the body, and we need functioning members, because what we have to understand is that if we have people that are coming into the body of Christ, my hope is that whoever they interact with, they have a consistent interaction. They have consistency in the way we love people, consistency in the way we treat people, consistency in the way we receive people. And again, sometimes the longer I am in church, the easier it is to be disconnected from what it's like to not be in church. Is that okay to say? And if we're not careful, I can become a member just by not being active and saying, I am constantly seeking people out. I'm constantly seeking ways to serve other people. Why? And, you know, when we do this, it's within our nature. Our routine is ingrained into us so much that if you come in and someone sits in your seat, you just don't know what to do with yourself. Don't you know that's my seat? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having the same seat. So it's okay. But you know what? I just dare you sometimes just to go sit on the opposite side of church. It'll just mess your whole mind up. Be like, I just don't know if I can worship, okay? This other side of the church is just weird, right? Why? Because it is literally so ingrained within us. If I'm not careful, we just go and we just do it. Now, this will be for the kids and the young adults. We can just be an NPC. Anybody know what that is? Anybody? I got like three nods, okay? This is a phrase, all right? So if you play any kind of games, if you are, and I can't believe I'm going into this, but here we are. I'm talking about video games now. We're talking Big Toes video games. You never know what we're going to talk about on Wednesday nights, okay? Just buckle up. But in video games, this idea that you have one character that's kind of the main character, and as he goes through his adventure, he's going to interact with other people. Let's say it's a game about medieval warfare or something, and you go to the armor store and you buy a sword from the armor guy, right, in the video game. Well, guess what? Anytime you go there, that person's always going to be there, right? They never do anything differently. They're not a character. They're just there, right? They're a non-player character. So what that means is this idea, it's like a meme of culture, of people call someone else, you're an NPC. That just means that no matter what, you just do your same thing. You just program. You never break the mold. You never think about anything. You just go through the motions and do the exact same thing all the time. That's the danger that we sometimes fall into. If we're not careful, what? I pull into the parking lot. I go to my spot. I walk in, I say hello to three people. How are you doing? I'm doing fine, just you. How are you doing? If I was any better, I'd be twins. Well, praise God. All right, well, I'll go to my seat. Y'all laughing because it's true. And if we're not careful, we will think that we have done everything a member of the body of Christ should do by doing the exact same thing every Sunday. And listen, I hope you understand, I'm not denigrating faithfulness, okay? I'm not denigrating the fact that we should show up to the house of God. I'm not denigrating those things. But what I'm saying is we need to constantly shift our perspective to be aware of people, newer people, or people that maybe they're not sitting in their normal spot, and where have they been? And I haven't seen you in 3 weeks. And you, let me ask you this, when was sometime that somebody just asked you maybe one or two questions that just dared to go beyond the surface, and yet it ministered to you and it opened up a conversation of genuine interest, and that simple conversation was transformative? You know that that's happened to you. You've had those moments with people where they just stopped just long enough. Maybe it was a follow-up question. Hey, how are you doing? I'm doing great. Hey, how are you really doing? I haven't seen you in a few weeks. And all of a sudden that opens up an invitation for lunch. And then all of a sudden you're sitting across from a table ministering to someone who, although they just sat in church through worship and a message, they were not plugged in or they were not open to anything. But because you are sitting across from a lunch table with them, all of a sudden their mind and their spirit is being reopened to what God could do. That is membership. That is membership. We're being diligent and careful with all the members of the body. Membership means we are different but work together. Membership means that everything we say and do should be based on the biblical foundation of love. Now, I just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Do you know what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is commonly referred to as? The love chapter. The love chapter. Now, many times we use this chapter to discuss marital romantic love, but I want us to look at it again through the lens of members in the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 13, the way of love. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Think about that. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, what am I doing? If I have a prophetic powers and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, I almost think, you know, I feel like it's almost sarcastic. He's like, if I'm the most spiritual person there, if I can walk in and just float around the auditorium, if I'm dressed in a 9-piece suit with 12 buttons and I got all the perfect stuff, but I don't love people, I'm nothing. If I walk in and do all the right things, say all the right things, if I have a word for you but not a word with you, what am I if I have not love? I'm going to write that one down. Somebody write that down. A word for you but not with you. That's a good one. It's not in my notes. But look at it. He says, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, it's a lot of faith. What a wonderful attribute. But have not love, I am nothing. That's strong. That's strong language, you know, because a lot of times I spend time, God, I want faith. God, I want to be spiritually in tune. I want your direction. Those are good things to do. But do I really spend a lot of time asking God to help me love people? I'm just being honest. I think a lot of my prayers, if I'm not careful, are really kind of centered on like my own spiritual power. Think about it. How often do you really say, you know what, Lord, help me love people better? But the scripture shows me, it's pretty clear. If I have all that stuff, but not love, nothing. Nothing. If I give away all that I have, if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. That's tough. Man, that's tough. Love is patient. Love is kind. Again, look at it through, I want you to look at this through the lens of the body of Christ. It's not boast. Does not envy or boast, not arrogant or rude, does not insist on its own way, it's not irritable or resentful, doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. You know, we don't just love people because they are lovable. We're supposed to love them even when they are unlovable. But here's the danger of the body of Christ. Sometimes we don't give those in the body of Christ the same grace and mercy we give those that are not because we think they should know better. And sure, they should, but aren't we called to the body of Christ to give one another grace, love, mercy? If I'm a member of the body, I will be in unity with one another. A few weeks ago, I preached a message entitled Many Generations, One Message, Three Parts, Our Identity Found in Christ, Unity Through Christ, and Revival Because of Identity and Unity. You know, unity is a vital part of the health of the church. Paul talks about it in Ephesians a lot. It's almost inescapable. Really quickly, Ephesians 1:15 and 16. For this reason, Because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. What was he so excited about? Your love towards all the saints. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Look, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We shouldn't just want unity. We should be the source of unity. We shouldn't just desire unity. I want to be in unity. If you want to have unity with one another, you have to be the source of it. The source of unity is not agreement on all topics or perfect unity of our preferences, rather sacrificing our preferences and the commitment of embodying unconditional love to one another. Colossians 3:14, Amplified Bible, look at this. Beyond all these things, put on and wrap yourselves in unselfish love, which is the perfect bond of unity, for everything is bound together in agreement when each one seeks the best for others. So how are we unified? Unselfish love. Let me ask you this. What is the fastest way to destroy unity in a church? Negative talk. Negative talk. Gossip. It's the number one. Number one way. Look at, Paul writes about it a lot, actually. Romans 1, 29 and 31. Look at this. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malices. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips. Literally, murder. In the middle of these heavy hitters, we have gossips, slanders, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil. I actually like that one. Inventors of evil. It's crazy. Disobedient to parent, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Man, right in the middle of this crazy list is gossips. That's pretty tough. James 3 and 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members. There's another reference there. Staining the whole body. Setting on fire the entire course of life. And set on fire by hell. Man, this is tough language. So what are some simple guidelines? Again, this is practical tonight. Number one, don't be the source. Am I the source of unity or am I the source of gossip? Number two, don't entertain or spread it. All it takes is for a few people to desire not to entertain or spread gossip, and that will get around. You know what's really funny about gossip? We like gossip so much that when I talk about gossip, it creates gossip. Pastor's talking about gossip. Why is he talking about gossip so much? Who do you think he's talking about? I know why he's talking about gossip. I'll tell you right now why he's talking about gossip. It's because of that person over there. Literally just talking about gossip begets gossip. And I'm not speaking this because there's some issue I'm trying to correct. I'm trying to for us to be proactive in the body of Christ. Because isn't it kind of crazy to think about something as easy to do as gossip can have such a deep consequence? That's what's so difficult if you really think about it. As much as we work for unity, and think about the feat that is biblical unity for all of us to come together with differing viewpoints on different topics and all different life experiences, but yet we are bound together. Why? Because of love. And yet, something as in our culture seemingly insignificant, or let me even say this way, celebrated as gossip can be such a destructive force. 1 Peter 3 and 10, whoever desires to love life and see good days, I like that, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Pretty easy. Or is it? Unity is so, the reason I say that is because unity is so vital to functionality. We can do so much, but if we are not committed to unity, we will not be able to move forward. So what happens when we view church membership from these two different views? And I'm coming to a close. What happens? What's the difference? Well, if you view church as a membership, like a country club, it will affect how you perceive everything. What happens when you ask a member to serve somewhere? Well, number one, if they do it, they do it out of obligation. Unfortunately, this develops a legalistic approach to serving. It's not what they want to do, because membership is about being served, right? Not serving, but they do it because they've been asked. But let me tell you this. If you begin a ministry with a bad attitude, you won't last long because your heart is not in the right place. Other members may just get mad they were asked to do anything. Or they don't want to do anything at all. Or something different. They make ministry sound like a prison sentence. You'll hear stuff like, oh, I'm not doing that. I served my time. And if you said that, I'm not coming for you. I'm not coming for you, okay? I think I probably said that before at something. But like, you know what? I would love to help, but I've served my time, okay? I'm not doing that ever again. I've done it, been there, done that. But if we're not careful, we can view these things as like a prison sentence. Why? Because I'm a member. I paid my dues, and now I have membership. So now it's about being served. What a dangerous perspective, though. But if membership is seen from the viewpoint of the member of the body, membership is treasured. It's a gift. I mean, look around. It's a blessing to be a part of this. I am blessed to be a part of this. I am blessed to be a part of our church. I mean, just look at the people gathered here tonight. We are blessed. We are so blessed. I've mentioned this, but you know, some people will say, well, the church is the body of Christ everywhere for all time, past, present, and future. And yes, there are scriptures that refer to those terms, but if you look at the New Testament, I want to show you, do you know which New Testament books were written specifically to local churches? Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. And four of Paul's books were written to specific individuals, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. What's my point? The Bible is clear. We're supposed to be connected to a local church. And that's something that our culture likes to, you know what, I can just pray in my house. Yes, you can. But you also need to be connected to the body. We are members of one body. Many members, one body. I'm so glad my toe cannot decide, you know what, I'm just staying home today. Taking the day off. But yeah, just think about that. And I use that not in a negative way to pressure you, but just think about that. If you are a member of this church, I want to tell you that not as a condemnation, but I want to encourage you that you may not really fully understand or recognize the role that you play. But when I look at these verses, what I realize is the Bible says basically, God made all the members differently as he chose. I may not even fully understand yet, but you know what I need you to do? Be a part of the body. Because that's how we discover, that's how we find out. So right now, you know, I love the verse when talking about, you know, be not conformed to the thinking of this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you may test and approve the perfect will of God. Sometimes people say, what am I supposed to do? And they say that passively. Well, I'm just waiting for God to tell me what to do. What's God's will? When I know, then I'll do it. But when I look at verses like that, when I see the test and approve, what that shows me is, you know what? Just get in there and begin working. And it may not be your thing, and that's fine, but you can find something else, right? And you can look, continue to discover, what is it that God would have me do? What is it that God wants me to do? Because you know what? You may feel like a big toe, but you got a great job, right? There's aspects that some people, they may not understand the value yet, and I may not know the value yet. I may not know you well enough to understand or see it or call it out. But again, if you're waiting on the pastor or a pastoral member to celebrate and pat you on the back, you may be waiting a long time. I don't mean that offensively. I'm just saying, because when I look at this verse, I realize that some members of the body were never really meant to be seen, but they're vital. Vital. So what I have to do is understand that they're in the same way I have to value members. As a pastor, you know what the most dangerous thing for me to do is to find whoever, and I'm just being real honest with you, is for me to go down the list and be like, look, let me find out our top 5 givers, or top 10 givers. I'm going to take them out to lunch. And yes, if you give a lot to the church, hopefully I can connect with you and you can be blessed and feel a blessing. But I can't look at it from that perspective because that's not what I'm called to do. I'm called to serve the members of the body. So guess what? If you gave $10, $100, or $1,000, I pray that my spirit can always be in the posture to serve the body of Christ and say, you know what? You are valuable. Your value is not tied to just the monetary value that you give to the church, but you are a member of the body. You are a part of the body. Now, if you want to give $10,000 tonight, God bless you, and I will pat you on the back. Well, what's my point? The Bible says that we are all members, different functions, different purposes, one body. One body. And yes, there are things that we will, in our human spirit, put more value on than other things. But everything I read in the scripture says, you know, we've got to overcome that. We've got to fight against that. So someone today, you may not right now feel like you add a lot to the body of Christ. My encouragement to you is stay in the body. You have value. You are important. You are needed. You are here. You are vital. And yes, those of you that that are in prominent positions, those of you that maybe you are enabled to give a larger sum. You know what? I'm thankful for you because you are maybe the more visible part of the body. You may be in a position of representation for the body. So thank you for what you do, because we can't represent ourselves well without those parts being seen representing us well. And I don't have time to go into that in depth, but I just want to say thank you. If you are the person that you do lead from the front, you are visible, you are a person that's able to give a lot, thank you so much. God bless you. I appreciate what you're doing because it helps propel the body forward. But we need to understand that I need to be a member, not a member. Will you stand with me tonight? I made a commitment to get us out of here in about an hour. So that was my goal. It's 8:02. I'm 2 minutes over. But, you know, I'll just say we had a lot of announcements. That's what it was. I'll chalk it up to the announcement. Just kidding. But, you know, there's a book, or interesting book, that I took a lot of the format and structure of this tonight, if you're really interested. And it's simply called I Am a Church Member. It's by Pastor Tom Rainer. Don't agree with everything that he says and believes, but there's so many great points. And he in the part of his book, he kind of gives this like a charge. And I want to read it to you because it's an interesting, it's almost like a commitment and what he would say as a church member. And in the book, it's almost like something that you can sign. It's pretty interesting, but look at this. It says, I am a church member. I like the metaphor membership because it's not membership as in a civic organization or country club. It's the kind of membership given to us in 1 Corinthians. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Because I am a member of the body of Christ, I must be a functioning member, whether I'm an ear or a hand. As a functioning member, I will give, I will serve, I will minister, I will evangelize, I will study, I will seek to be a blessing to others. I will remember that if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. I'm a church member. I will seek to be a source of unity in the church. I know there are no perfect pastors, staff, no perfect members, but neither am I. I will not be a source of gossip or dissension. One of the greatest contributions I can make is to do all I can in God's power to help keep the church in unity for the sake of the gospel. I'm a church member. This membership is a gift. When I received the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, I became a part of the body of Christ. And now I am humbled and honored to serve the church and love others in our church. I pray that I will never take my membership for granted, but see it as a gift and an opportunity to serve others and be a part of something so much greater than any one person or member. I am a member of this church, and I thank God that I am. I thought that was so cool. Such a cool perspective. And again, one that if we want other people to come into this church and see that, because you know what I don't want people to see? I don't want people to see a country club. I don't want people to see a business. And you know, we are growing. Thank the Lord. We're not growing for numbers or boasting. We're growing because every number is a soul that Jesus died for. And I think it's so important. That's why these Wednesday nights, I want to talk about we are First Church. And that's what this church has been built on and will be built on. Things like prayer, things like unity, things like fellowship, rejoicing with one another, forgiving others, giving of our time, giving of our treasures. I feel confident to say this because you are a giving church. You are a church in unity. You are a church that loves one another. But I'm saying if we want to continue that, we have to fiercely protect it. Those of us that we know all the things are sometimes in the most danger of just coming in and being a member, having expectations, finding my seat. Nothing wrong. Please sit in your normal seat. That way I can know if you're there. Helps me. But I need to understand that, God, I want to be a member of the body in everything I do. If we literally just take that commitment and that perspective into every interaction, I think it would be transformative. Every conversation, even difficult ones, we're a member of the same body, different functions. I need you. You need me. All of these different things. So tonight I want to pray, and I would ask that the remainder of this week, I thank you for being here on a Wednesday night. I know many of you, it's a long day at work and it's a lot to get here, and I appreciate it. I thank you for being members of this church. I know the Wednesdays is customarily, we're going to have more people that are more members than just guests for the first time. But if you are a guest for the first time here, I want you to know this is what we want our church to be like. It's important to us. It's important to us. It's not just a ritual. It's not just something we do on Wednesdays. We are a body. We are together. We are one in Christ. And it's important and vital to us to stay unified. So I want us to pray together as we close out tonight. And I want you to look for ways. How can I rejoice and honor one that's being honored and rejoicing? And how can I seek those that have suffered or are suffering? Because even those small commitments can be a selfless way. Maybe if someone's just, they're new to our church, they're newer. Maybe just connect with them and say, hey, I know you're new. What church did you come from or what's your background? I would love to connect with you. I'd love to get to know you, right? Because it can't just be handshakes and high fives at church. We have to make a commitment. We are in the body. So I want us to pray as we close. Lord, help me rejoice with those who are rejoicing, and let me find those that are suffering and seek them out. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you tonight for your word. God, we are all members of one body, God. Lord, I pray that we would not look at it as a country club, Lord, but I pray we would love people. Lord, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I am just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. God, if I have understanding and all mysteries and knowledge, if I have all faith, if I can remove mountains but I don't have love, I am nothing. Lord, I pray that we would be patient. I pray that we would not be arrogant. I pray we would not be rude. I pray we would not insist for our own way or be resentful. I pray that we would rejoice at truth. God, I pray that we would bear all things. I pray that we would believe all things. I pray that we would hope all things. And right now, Lord, I want to pray for those that are suffering, God. They may come in here with the right mask on, Lord. They may come in here right now with things that they can cover up and no one else can understand it. But Lord, I pray that we would be sensitive enough to know if there is a member of this body that is suffering, Lord, that we would attend to it, that we would protect them, that we would go to them. Right now, I feel a shift in prayer right now. I want to just pray for those that may be suffering. I know you come in on a Wednesday night and maybe there's not the same expectation, but I just want to tell you right now, the reason we're preaching about the body of Christ is because we love you. Right now, could you just begin to pray? I know you may not know who needs this prayer, but there are people in this room right now that are suffering in their body, that are suffering in relationships, that are suffering in their finances. Let's pray right now. Lord, I direct a specific prayer, God, to those that are suffering in their body. Lord, I pray for those suffering with chronic pain, Lord. God, the difficulty and the toll that takes. God, I pray you would touch someone's back even right now, Lord. I pray that you would touch somebody who has trouble with their knees or their hips, God, or chronic pain that every day they wake up. Lord, I pray you would minister to them, Lord. God, I pray right now for people that are dealing with emotional trauma. God, maybe things that have happened to them or relationships that have been broken. Lord, I pray that we could see people that are suffering. I pray that somebody would be open enough and willing enough to take off their mask and say, yes, I may be suffering, but I want to be in the body. Lord, I pray that those that are healthy, God, would find those that are suffering. I pray that those that have rejoiced and those that have been honored would find those that are struggling, God, because it's not enough for us to come in here and smile to one another and say, how are you doing? I'm doing fine. Lord, if we are to be the body, if we are to be a functioning body, we have to seek out those that need help. We have to seek out those that need rescuing. We have to seek out those that need strength. God, let that be the body that we are. God, a body that loves one another, that doesn't speak against one another, that seeks out those that need you desperately, God. I thank you, Lord, for the unity we have in our church. God, I pray we would fiercely protect unity, God. I pray we would be a source of unity, Lord. Let there be no contention. Let there be no division, God. We don't have time for it because we're on a mission, God. There are people driving down the street, God, that don't know you, that are far from you, and we have the answer. But if we're divided, Lord, we can't reach them. If we're divided, we can't teach them. If we're divided, we can't disciple them. So help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for making Wednesday a priority. I appreciate it. Greet one another and speak to somebody before you head out. God bless you, and we will see you Sunday, 9:15 or 11:30. Be blessed.